Amen. Thank God for the reading of the word tonight, Habakkuk chapter number 3. I think at the conclusion, he sort of, maybe in a state like we're in now, things seem to be chaotic and just don't know about what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, but yet will I praise God in spite of my circumstances. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where you got to be in times like these. Amen. I would not let my circumstances alter my praise. Amen. Yet will I praise him. Yet will I give him glory in spite of what I see and what folks are saying and what folks are doing. My relationship with the Lord is not going to be determined by what other folks do, what other folks say, what other folks think. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust a sweeter frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, that solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you tonight for being back in another Bible class, and amen for the wonderful blessing of the Lord. He allowed us to come together one more time. Amen. Everybody listen to the news, I'm sure, and everybody see all the recommendations that they're making, which is, you know, trying to protect people. But I appreciate that, and I'm not going to be just not paying any attention. All of us should pay attention to what's going on. But we got to put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can help us. Man, he is our covering. The scripture says, I've lifted mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Who made heaven and earth. So, and David said, Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Then 91st Psalm said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, gonna do what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God bless you. Thank God again for you today. Amen. We are back. We finished that lesson on the 37 miracles. Now we in a new Bible class tonight that's, I think, is appropriate for the time in which we live right now. And I think a very familiar topic, very familiar scripture. The topic is saving the nation, the reluctance of the preacher. Saving the nation. And we're also going to talk about the reluctance of the preacher. But the preacher didn't want to do what God told him to do. Didn't want to go where God told him to go. But when you know the story, but it's good to go back and look at it, because it can relate to what we're going through now. And I really, when I selected this, well, I guess the Lord led me to select this topic and this scripture, because I wanted to compare the attitude of the leaders and the people then to what's happening now. You know, and find out what were the results of what they did, and certainly, and we know that the scripture has declared that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he turned the circumstances around then, amen, I preached a couple of Sundays ago, if God did it then, he can do it now. He has not changed. So we're going to look at the book of Jonah, a very familiar text to all of us, I'm sure, that we have read that many, many times. But we're going to be talking about saving of a nation and the reluctance of the preacher. And we're going to start with Jonah chapter 1. Amen. Real straightforward. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, simple message. Wasn't anything complex about what he said for him to do. It was nothing ambiguous about what he told him to do. He says, verse number 2, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, he called it a great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. He said, them folks down there in Nineveh, they're some wicked folks. And I want you to go down there, and I got a message for you to give to them. Just that simple. And I wonder if God is not speaking to somebody in these times to go down to America, that wicked place, because there's a lot of wickedness in the world, not only in America, but in all other parts of the world. But the Bible says, but Jonah, after he heard the decree of the order from the Lord, you think he was going down and do what he said. But the scripture says in verse number 3, and Jonah rose up to flee or to run unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Oops, mistake number 1. You can't hide from God. Amen. He's going to run from God. How are you going to get run from God when he's everywhere? Amen. Adam thought he could hide himself from God, but God knew where he was all the time. So Jonah didn't learn the lesson from Adam. But the Bible said instead of him going down to Nineveh, he was the reluctant preacher. When you're reluctant, you're sort of holding back to do what somebody told you to do. You want to find some other way to do it. Or you just don't want to get a little stubborn about it, don't want to do it. But if God told you to do something, and if you don't do it, you're going to wish you had have done it when he get through with you. And when it comes to the people of God, so he decided, I'm going down to Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Oh, that's my transport. I'm going to get on this ship. And he found a ship going to, and so he paid to flee from God out of money out of his pocket. And he was so sure that he had escaped the presence of the Lord. The Bible says he went down in the ship. And he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What would put in his mind that he can get away from God? I call that stinking thinking. You know, you can't get away from God. And you know, Jonah was no different than people today. They think they can do something and God doesn't see it. We spend a whole lot of time trying to hide stuff from each other. Trying to hide it from that person. Trying to hide it from that person, this person. But you might hide it from a person, but you can't hide anything from God. He says, be sure your sins will find you out. It's going to find you. You may be down the road someplace you think you got in the way. God has not forgotten it. So he was pretty comfortable with the decision. So he's going to go down. I'm going to go down. So I'm going another way. I don't want to go that way. So the Bible says, but the Lord sent a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, and then the sea was disturbed. And the ship was shaking and rocking and rolling, about to be broken into pieces. And the mariners, or the people of that ship, cried every man unto his God. Everybody, must have, from the text, I would assume then that if every man cried, every man unto his God, you know, I don't know what God that was. Maybe they had different gods. I'm sure they did, because, you know, they worship all kinds of stuff back then, and some still do now. And they begin to cast the wares that when they were the light in the ship. They begin to throw stuff overboard in the water. All this because of a reluctant preacher. He's causing all this chaos. If he'd just gone and did what the Lord said, this wouldn't be happening. Sometimes the stuff we do cause trouble in the lives of others. It's not sometimes, it's just not you. Now, these men's lives are at stake because the decision that Jonah made. So just because you make a decision, it could be detrimental not only to you, but others. But they know the more they threw overboard, the more the ship rocked. But Jonah had gone there, and Jonah was asleep. He wouldn't, I'm sleeping. Y'all up there throwing stuff overboard, I'm down here sleeping. But the shipmaster came to him and said, "What meaneth thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God." We've called upon our God, nothing happened. You call upon the name of your God, if so that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Jonah got the short straw, the short stick. It was so fixed that if they had lots, whatever they use, a short stick, a different color marble, whatever it is, whoever picks up the black marble, it must be the one that's causing this. Or whoever, we got all these, if it's 15 of us, we're going to have 15 sticks, the shortest one. Person picks up the shortest stick, we believe that's whose God is angry. And if Jonah didn't have any choice, God fixed it, so he had to pick it, and it fell on him. So what was Jonah's attitude once it fell on him? They said, verse number 8, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us? What is your occupation, and what you come from, and what country are you from, and what people are you from?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which has made the sea and dry land." If he fears God, why did he do what God told him to do? You know, you think, you know, that sounds like the, what they call an oxymoron, you know. You say you fear God, but yet you don't do it, but you don't act like it, but you do something like you don't fear him. That's exactly what he did. He looked like he had no fear of God, but he made it. So then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of God because he told them. They knew he was running away from God. Then they said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea was tempestuous. There was a rocking and rolling. The ship was about to sink. Then he said unto them, which means now he takes ownership of his sin. That's what we need to do. We need to take ownership of our sin. Don't try to cast and blame somebody else. Because a lot of times folks do wrong and they want to blame somebody else for it. Nobody's fault but yours. The song said, "If I die and my soul be lost, it's nobody's fault but mine." But Jonah took responsibility for his action. He said, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea." And so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rolled. They said, "And the woman, we don't want to do that. Man, we have a murder on our hands. You know we're going to drown if we throw him in the sea. He's going to drown." And so they're trying to row and trying to steady the ship. But the more they tried to steady the ship, more God blew the wind. And just couldn't, they couldn't fight against God. Nevertheless, when the men had rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "I beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us the innocent blood. For thou, Lord, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." Say, Lord, please don't blame us. We really don't want to do this, but there he goes into the water. You see him, he's gone into the water. So they took Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and what happened? The sea stopped her raging. Sometimes, Dr. Persley, there are folks in the church, it's called a tempestuous circumstance. Amen. There's some people in this church need to be tossed into the sea. Amen. That means true. It can bring some calm to the church. There are some folks keep us so much trouble and ruckus in the church. You say, "Lord, where did these folks come from?" So there are Jonases in some churches, always keeping up stuff. But Jonah said, "Throw me in the water." And Bible said once they threw him in the water, once they got rid of the trouble, the ship was fine. Because one person sometimes can cause trouble. Who was that? Had gone somewhere, and God told them, "Don't you take anything from them folks." And somebody took one thing and brought it back, and was it Achan, sounds like to me. So they look around and say, "All this trouble, what's going on?" They searched the camp and found that this brother had taken some stuff that he shouldn't have taken. God said, and he caused trouble for the whole camp. One person, because one person in the church, I'm using the camp as a church, one person in the church can call chaos for everybody. So they found out, why isn't God blessing us? Well, because of that one person had done what God told them not to do. And they had to get rid of it. So, Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Some folks said, "Well, what kind of fish was it?" Well, the Bible says it was a whale. You know, it's not something that I made up. It's in the Bible. He said, "Great fish." But there's also a scripture that says it was a whale. If you don't believe it, I'm going to make you don't believe it. Matthew 12:40. What did it say? So Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of who? The whale's belly. So he told what kind of fish it was. So some people said, "It wasn't no whale." That's what the Bible said. It was a whale. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So that solved that issue. That it was a whale, in fact. Three, can you imagine being down in the belly of a whale for 3 days and, oh my God, it had to be stinking down in there. 3 days and three nights. I can imagine how horrendous that must have been for Dyson. Yeah. What? I mean, that had to be, I mean, first of all, there was no light down there. I mean, it had to be dark down in that belly, in that fish's belly. And going through the water, and he's down, oh my goodness, what's going on? Then the Bible said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. He's praying. God can find a way to make you start praying. Oh yeah, you might not want to pray on your own, but God can fix it. You're gonna pray. that brother prayed like he never prayed before. Because he realized I'm in deep trouble. I don't know what's gonna happen to me. I've been swallowed by a fish. I'm not sure he knew where he was. He'd never been in the belly of a whale before. But he knew he was somewhere he'd never been before, and it didn't look too good, didn't smell too good, didn't felt, didn't feel too good, so he started crying to God. So God will put you sometime in a position you got to cry out to him. Brother Ison.
And whales are very, very big, so he probably was in water. He's probably swimming.
Absolutely, because whales live in water. Exactly, that's where he was. Because whales live in water. Huge animals. Huge. So.
God made that fish just for him. Nobody else. It's for him. And then as he was in the belly of that fish, could you imagine? All what the fish ate, he was all in his face and all over him. And I know I can't imagine. All I can say is that I can't imagine being belly something like that for 3 days and three nights. Just up and down and round and around, and it just I can't imagine.
And plus you can at least when you're on a ship. You have a window, you can sort of see out what's going on. But when you then you can't see anything, and that fish is going up and down, and you Lord have mercy. God said, I got you right where I want, Dr. Percy.
I think in reality, he was in a type of hell because he could have been digested. He was at the point where, you know, he could have been digested easily because he was there. He was in the stomach.
Absolutely.
He was in the belly of the fish.
Absolutely.
So therefore, he was in a bad spot.
Terrible place to be. And when you're in a terrible place, you do the right thing. You call on the Lord. You call on him. And somebody said, God made, Dick Smith said, God made that fish, that whale, just for him, because usually you can't breathe inside and all that. So God made it where he didn't suffocate. Because God set it up that way. But he was in, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Yeah. that was a mighty strong cry to God. He said, God heard me. That's important to when you cry out unto God, that he hears you. He was desperate. Desperate circumstance calls for a desperate. Things to do. You got to do something desperate. Man, I can't. I just can't. I can't do business as usual. Man, this. I've never been here before. Out of the belly of hell. That's what Dr. Prince just got through saying. He was in hell. Out of the belly of hell, I cried. oh my goodness. And I heard it my voice. He said, this is like being in hell. So Evangelist Jones, but I just give it the mic.
I was just thinking sometimes we find ourselves in a figurative hell, in a real bad, bad place, whether it's depression or a very serious illness, or we've been thrown in jail. It is so bad, it can be so bad for us that it's like
Mike, being, please, do your mouth.
It can be so bad that it's like being in a hell. And I just like what it said. Out of the belly of hell cried I. So that could be any of us who can be in a really bad place, and we can do what Jonah did, and that's cry to our God. And it says, and thou heardest my voice.
That's the key. God heard him.
God hears us when we cry, whatever our circumstance is, regardless of whether we turned our back on him or we've done something we're in the place we're in because of our own actions. If we cry to our Father, he'll hear us and deliver.
Amen. Yes, he will. And I believe that the Lord heard Jonah because he knew that this was a sincere cry. It was just not a cry of inconvenience, I want you to get my, but he knew that Jonah was sincere in his cry. Not only did he know that, he knew that if I heard Jonah, I know what he's going to do next. See, God's always a step ahead of us. You know, get past God. God knew what his attitude was going to be once he got out of that fish. But the main thing God wanted to do was to get his attention, to get him to make that change. And God saw the heart of him and how deeply he cried unto God. Dr. Persley.
I was thinking, Bishop, you're right, because when he prayed, God had to fish already going to the place where he wanted him to be. Mm-hmm. So God already had it set up. He already knew. And it was a type of mercy. It mm-hmm. really was.
Yep, absolutely. The mercy of God. That's Evangelist Jones said, many of us can be in a place that we think is hell. But, you know, from the bed of hell, I cried out, when have been in some circumstances, how am I going to get out of this? I mean, you can be there and wonder how, first of all, you wonder, how did I get here? Then how am I going to get out? And your friends can't get you out. The lawyer can't get you out. The judge can't get you out. You know it's got to be God. And you begin to call on the name of the Lord, and God delivers. But it's got to be out of a sincere heart. So he said, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods come past me about. All thy billows and waves passed over me. When he said, oh Lord, water and everything just passed, I'm just rocking in the seas. This is terrible. But I said,
you're in a bad situation whenever you did something that you know was wrong, and you know you want to know why you did it, and what's the consequences of it and everything. So it's just good to just start off not doing anything wrong.
That's right. That's right. If you start out not doing anything wrong, you won't get into that circumstance. that's about as plain as it can be. If you don't want to get in a dire circumstance, don't do what it takes to get you there. I mean that's the solution. Then you don't have to worry about crying out. Just do what the Lord says do to start with, Brother Aaron.
And just to piggyback off of Ison, that is true. Sometimes when we are unknowingly, presumptuously, or even promiscuous to be permitted to do certain things, I heard certain verbs and stuff, not, you kind of get accountable. They hold you accountable. If you, just like as a witness, if you see, hear, taste, or smell, sometimes lending that ear may also put you in that tizzy or something like that. But I just piggyback off of Ison. But I was thinking about Jonah as well, how he, you know, this could not have been just anybody that God was calling. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, he must have been talking to that whale, too. Like, don't digest me. Like, don't, you know, the sulfur and all that could have been the problem. But, you know, you know, so much can break things down. It's like, okay, he don't eat meat, but while I'm in his belly, he was a whale, you know. And then that's what I think really in my mind, just like what we're going through down today, you know, certain things has to go about, even with the people of Laodicean and people that have these spirits that may affect how things, at the outcome of healing, the outcome of wellness, the outcome of healthiness. And Jonah, to get to somewhere else after, you know, his burnt off and after all that and all this other stuff, he was still counted acceptable to go and lead this fellowship. And I couldn't believe that he was just passing it up without, you know, he had to have to know why he should have been there. But at the same time, it just boggled me that he had to encourage himself to not be the digest like the other person was talking about, but just to have the mission to, you know, to clean up a vile place. I don't even think he was just the flesh beast. Mm-hmm. He could have been something supernatural.
Amen. All right. So he knew. Yeah, he knew why he was there. You know, in fact, he was really when he cried out unto the Lord, he's sort of confessing, you know, that what he had done, because he said you cast me here, and God, you talked about God not only speaking to Jonah, he spoke to the fish. Absolutely, he spoke to the whale. He told that whale to go, and the whale had more sense than Jonah. The whale went and did what God told him to do, but Jonah didn't. Amen. Jonah didn't even have fish sense. Amen. So he said, then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. He said, I know I should not have done this. You cast me out of your sight, but I'm going to still look toward your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even unto the soul. The death clothes around about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I mean, you're in bad shape. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars and was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Oh my God, you could have killed me down here, but you didn't. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came up. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that thou owest. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So he's sort of giving a confession then, and telling God how sorry he was, and realizing he's sort of giving a kind of how bad the situation was, and made an admission that I'm here not because of anybody else. I did this. And when God heard his honest confession, what did he do? He spoke to the fish again. You said, Brother Isaac, he spoke to the fish. That's what it says right here. And the Lord spake unto the fish. And it vomited Jonah up on dry land. God told the fish, go spit him out now. He's had enough. Then, so God said, okay, now, I'm going to do this over now. Okay, one more time. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh and cry against that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you, not your message. I'm going to give you the message, to preach to those people, not some stuff you made up. So God gave him a message. But God, this tells me that God, they say God is a God of the second chance. He gave him a second chance to go and do what he should have done in the first place. That's called the mercy and the grace of the Lord. So what did he do? So now, in the first part of the text, it says when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, he decided he's going to go somewhere else. Going, I'm going to go down to they're having a good time down at Tarshish. I'm going to go down to Joppa and get on that ship, and I'm going to go out. I'm going to run away from God. But this time, the Bible says Jonah went to Nineveh according to what the word of the Lord said. I'm going to where God told me to go. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. And but he, brother, was moving. And he said, yet, and he said, and here he is preaching. See, he's in Jonah, and look at him preaching. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. He gave them, this was a pestilence is coming. A coronavirus is coming. I mean, so that's what this was like a pestilence. You're going to be destroyed in 40 days. Did they trying to get a remedy for it? Okay, that's why we're talking about saving of a city. And so it is a response of the people. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a what? Fast. Everybody. Sackcloth. From the greatest of them, even to the least, everybody went on the fast. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, which name was not Trump, and he arose from his throne, not the White House, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and ashes, got out of his royal robe. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste or eat anything. Let them not eat and don't even drink water. Put the cows on the, put the cat on the fast, put the dog on the, put the goat on the fast, put the elephant on the, everything in this city, nothing gonna eat. And that's serious stuff, y'all. That's serious stuff. And that got the attention of God. You know, they weren't trying to find no cure. They were just repenting. Because they had gotten it so bad that, you know, because they knew how bad they had been. Nobody had to tell them. They knew they were doing some ungodly stuff. Right now, the people of America, they know they're doing some bad stuff. They know they don't worship God on Sunday. They're worshiping football, basketball, baseball, soccer, ping pong, whatever you want. Everything but God is happening on Sundays. Multiple millions of people filling football, baseball, basketball stadiums, drinking beer, eating bratwurst and hot dogs and peanuts and popcorn. Don't have one iota of thinking about who God is. You know, God had put up with that for so long. But he said, wait, enough is enough. And I believe God has said enough is enough. Now, you would think that we would all get together and everybody across every nation, every country would call upon the name of the Lord. As Dr. Percy preached on Sunday, the text, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That's what he said. And that's what these folks did. We're talking the saving of a nation. That's what they did. Everybody went on a fast, you know. Everybody going there in isolation. Amen. Amen. Hiding from the virus. But okay, I agree with the isolation. But not only tell folks to go in isolation, tell them to go into prayer. I haven't heard anybody say, go into prayer. They didn't say, go into isolation. No, you got to do more than go in isolation. You better go into prayer. You better get in your prayer closet. Isolation is not going to be the whole answer. You got to pray, Dr. Presley.
You know, I was thinking, Bishop, the coronavirus is just a small thing compared to what God does have. He has some other stuff that's deadly. I mean, this is deadly, but he has some pestilence that's beyond what's out there now.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's when I told somebody. I said, I think I was talking to my son already. I said, look, you know, the coronavirus is upon us, but I believe in God is saying if you don't turn yourself around, a worse thing will come upon you. You know, this is just a foretaste of what can be, because it can come on so rapidly, you won't even have time to figure out how to get rid of it. But God is a merciful God. He's given us a time to get it right, to get right with him. And unfortunately, a lot of folks got to suffer in the meantime. But God said, look, you don't just go back and do business as usual. When 9/11 happened, like all the churches, everybody loved each other. So that a few days ago, a few months, a few years ago, it was business as usual. It didn't change. And just think about if you were God and you made all these folks and you blessed them beyond measure and you just gave them a chance after chance after chance after chance and they flaunt in your face, I don't have to go to worship you. I'm going to have myself a good time. Forget you. Okay. Jesus, the scripture says, at the name of Jesus, every knee. This coronavirus is everywhere. At the name of Jesus, every knee going to have to bow and every tongue going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, so, you know, we sorrow with those who sorrow. But also, at the meantime, we weep with those who weep. We also pray with those who pray. All of us need to give an account to God. Nobody's exempt. Everybody, just like they did in Nineveh, everybody and everything went on a fast, sackcloth and ashes. When you put on sackcloth and ashes, you get down, you're serious. I mean, the king took off his royal apparel. You know, my royal apparel ain't gonna help this situation. You know, what I wear, it had no meaning at all. I'm gonna get down like everybody is, and we're gonna fast and pray, and we're going to petition God. Listen, he said, not only are we gonna be in sackcloth, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, cry mightily unto God. And look, this is the powerful instructions from the king. Look what he said. And let them turn everybody from their evil way and from the violence that's in their hands. He said, we some terrible folks, y'all. We need to turn from all of our violence Who can tell if God will turn? Listen, who knows if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turn. What did 2 Chronicles say? Turn. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, turn from your wicked ways. So they turn. So they turn from the evil, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Changed the mind of God because they repented. So sorry. And God didn't do it. Oh, we're gonna stop there. It's 8 o'clock already. So we're gonna cut off, and we'll probably finish next week. But you know, and I want to, you know, you compare what the attitude that the king had then with the attitude of our officials now. You know, nobody talking about turning to God. He's talking about finding a cure, which is fine, but you know, God's got to be in there somewhere. You got to put God in the mix there somewhere. God goes, you know, they're talking about, well, the cure might be a year from now. Well, a whole lot of folks can die in a year. But God can turn it around right now. That's what he did it here. And because they said when they went on that fast and prayed and everything, and Even the animal had sackcloth on. That's serious praying and repenting. God said, oh, those folks are serious. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to have mercy on them. And that's what we need to do. Final word will be Dick Smith. We're going to cut off.
Bishop, if you notice that whenever, once you do what God tells you to do, things will work out just fine. Now we're thinking about Jonah. As the guy, the whale spit him out, that must have been a 3-day journey. He made it in one day. I mean, that man must have been a mover. He didn't think about sleeping. He thought about doing what God told him to do. You know, a lot of times that when God tells us to do something, we kind of slack, you know, and doing what, but once we do what God tells us, everything runs smooth as glass, you know. A lot of times we make it hard on ourselves. Well, God didn't tell me to do that. God, I don't think God asked you to think what he could do. He told you to do it, you know. Well, ain't nothing going to happen. He didn't ask you for things going to happen. He told you to do it. Mm-hmm. When you do it, things will happen. You know?
Amen. God can turn it around in an instant. You know. God doesn't have to go look for a remedy. He is the remedy. You know.